What is going on, my friends? My name is Parker Andrees, DJ of 10 years and host of Behind the Energy podcast. I've been able to meet some pretty awesome people along the way, and we're bringing them on here to go behind the energy, sharing their stories, lessons learned, and shine light on some of their major milestones. If you're into DJing, the event industry, or entrepreneurship, I think you'll dig the show. I really appreciate you being here with me. Now that we've set the table, it's time to jump right in and get started with today's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, party people, this is episode 42, season 3 of Behind the Energy podcast, and I'm sitting on a couch with a familiar friend. What's up, Mr. Birch?
We're back in the studio, baby.
Back, if you listened to the last episode or watched the last episode, I was in my boy Landon, by the way, his brand new, spanking new studio, and it was super dope, but I felt really weird, and Nick Nord, it's not going to happen again. We're going to season 50.
We love you. We promise, so, Nick. Don't worry. Always.
I say familiar face because Austin Birch was on episode 13 of Behind the Energy podcast.
Last August? October?
A lot has happened since then.
It has indeed.
I was listening to it, prepping for this, and I'm like, wow, I sound so lame, and there wasn't much direction in the conversation. It's still a great conversation, but like, the podcast has grown a lot since then.
It's season one. You're kind of finding the niche, finding how you want to wrap the podcast. That's how it goes.
Exactly. In terms of wrapping the podcast and where we want to be, we're going to keep it natural, but we have a few specific notes bullets of topics of things that we're going to talk about. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. If you subscribed and you're watching on YouTube,
that's the double whammy.
I love you. Thank you. And if you're just listening, that's super dope too. We're going to jump into it again. Austin Birch, is a homie of many years. I don't feel like I want to, dig too much into just our friendship and, you know, kind of what we already discussed in episode 13.
Totally.
Just to save time. I think there we go. There was a hair in my mouth, I think. I don't know what that was. Anyways, we're going to roll with it. So if you want to get more context and get more of the full circle, it is episode 13 in season 1 of Behind the Energy podcast, where we talk about Austin's story as a DJ and as an entrepreneur, and from when he first started to almost about where we're at now. Like I said, a lot happens. And
it's been
I mean, you literally just told me how you're selling some of your speakers that you've
purchased in that time frame,
built in your arsenal. Real quick for the DJs, and because I want to know, RCF to Bass Boss. I listened to Bass Boss and I about died.
Yeah,
what's the thought process behind that? And
so,
what are you doing?
I was some more of the story. The short answer is I've got a pretty sizable RCF rig right now that I can do maybe up to about 900 people, 800 people inside, and maybe about 500 to 600 people outside with.
You could do more. You just like your sound.
I like my sound. I don't like to overdrive things a little bit too hard. So I've got a rig that I can comfortably handle all my events with. But I've been feeling like it doesn't quite deliver the sound that I want it to. It's great quality, without a doubt. I love them, but they don't quite fit the exact sound that I'm looking for and the exact experience that I want to deliver to my clients. Because when I work for live entertainment, as well as in my own company, we're all about delivering high-impact events, as live entertainment is. That's the whole thing. And at Argus Entertainment, we're trying to kind of craft an event revolution, where we're tired of doing boring, stuffy events with mediocre quality sound. So part of that change for me, and part of delivering the experience that I envision for my clients and for myself as well, is pushing the limits of what human hearing can handle. Not in a volume sense. We're not going to be cranking it up to 140 decibels, but I want to roll up to a wedding and I want people to feel the music, not just hear it. And I want them to be able to feel it without me pulling in, you know, big stacks of speakers
or damaging hearing
or breaking, you know, violating city noise ordinances. We have tons of problems with that here in Utah.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. No kidding. So luckily I have a close friend here, who owns a large production company in the area, Tom, mm-hmm. Who's likely going to be purchasing lots of this RCF gear because he's an RCF guy. I love him. And I'm working on a quote right now with Base Boss. So we're going to be packing in a big rig and a small rig. Two separate rigs, yeah.
Wow.
They design all their speakers to be able to be played together. Obviously, top speakers don't always mesh properly. You can get comb filtering and other fancy audio things that sound really gross and really nasty. But their subs, at least, all play together really nicely. Everything from their huge $17,000 quad 21-inch sub all the way down to their single 15.
It's called the Kraken.
It's called the Kraken. Monster of the Deep. It is a visceral experience standing in front of one of those.
So I went to a Mobile Entertainment Expo.
Yes,
Max. For those of you who don't know, it's a conference for mobile DJs for a broad range of DJs, but mainly DJs that do private events.
Yeah,
And they have speakers. They have a huge showroom. They a lot of great networking opportunities. I was in Las Vegas this February, and Base Boss had a huge display.
They call it a demolition. Like, it's a demo, but it's a demolition because they tend to knock lights out of ceiling fixtures and things like that.
Yeah, like dust is coming from the ceiling.
It's gnarly.
Just because the vibrations. When I went in the Base Boss room, A, I never had heard of them before, but B, dude, it was insane. Like, how much clean punch there was. And then they gave us these flyers and they said, hey, we're doing a full line setup and we're showcasing our Kraken.
Yeah.
At this venue.
Beefy.
Like a couple blocks from where the conference was at. You should roll through. And basically they were just blasting music for hours for a bunch of DJs who may be interested in buying their product to come check out and experience. I had never experienced anything like it. Like, I've been to a lot of concerts.
Yep.
Okay, maybe a show or two at the Saltaire.
Yeah.
But, like, it was insane. Like, if you didn't have earplugs, you are going to seriously damage your ears.
Yeah.
And that's standing 50 or 60 yards away from it. Granted, they had multiple Krakens.
Totally.
And everything else lined up.
So that's a lot of sound for an 80-foot by 80-foot room or whatever.
Oh, it was a full venue. You could have fit probably 2,000 people in there.
Woo!
And it was bumping. So real quick, Austin, to come full circle on the Base Boss, are you getting those unique ones that like are kind of like a diamond?
I'm not getting the diamond ones.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Though? I do. Yeah, they're actually called the diamond 112. It's a coaxial speaker.
Okay,
and that's cool because it's basically like a 13-inch box. It's a diamond. So if you stick it on a speaker stand, it doesn't look like a normal box thing. It's a diamond. It's tilted 45 degrees or whatever. But the tweeter of the speaker is inside the woofer. They're mounted coaxially. So center of the speaker, you get the woofer and then the tweeter right in front of it. And that has a bunch of scientific benefits to it and some other things, but it basically just gives you a really small, kind of modern, cool looking package.
Or a unique package.
It's a unique package. It's something that looks different.
Yeah.
That's not quite what I wanted. Its specs are a little bit lower than their next up model. It's just standard 12-inch speaker with, a tweeter and a woofer. So I'll be getting those and probably one of their big single 21-inch subs. It's a hybrid design. I'm very excited for it. That's a conversation for a different point.
Dang.
And then we'll probably be getting a wedding rig as well, a pair of 15-inch subs and a pair of 9-inch tops. Something that's small, relatively lightweight, and still can rock the house.
Sorry, I literally just got the news about this before we started recording.
This was maybe like 7 minutes ago or whatever.
Austin has been a huge RCF dude for a while now, and to hear this is a big deal. So
I love RCF.
We're going to put a pause on that point in the conversation.
Stick a pin in that one.
We got into some of the weeds in terms of audio. Now we're going to go transition over to DJing itself.
Yeah, baby.
A few things that I want to talk about is finding your style as a DJ. Austin helped me create some of these topics.
Yes.
What do you want to talk about that excites you, brings value, and hopefully y'all enjoy as well. Finding your style as a DJ, the power of social media as an entrepreneur and as a DJ. And then I'm going to preface this last one. You didn't share it with me, but a crazy story from DJing over the years, like a particular event, like something that something that you're like, oh my God, what just happened? Or like, how do we do this? Or something like that. So be thinking about that.
Okay.
While we talk for the next 20 minutes.
Totally.
We're going to start out with finding your style as a DJ.
Yeah.
Austin, you got your first controller when?
2015, 2016. Actually, it was earlier than that. It was probably like 2014.
2014,
yeah.
Newmark, yeah. Mixtrack Pro.
Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm.
139 bucks on Amazon.
And you can be a DJ just like that with a swipe of your credit card or a tap of your phone.
Join the crew.
Oh, I'm sure you can sense the sarcasm through the audio waves. All right, Austin. So what I have a few questions particularly about finding your style as a DJ, my man.
Sweet.
I think every person's response and story to this is going to be different,
mm-hmm.
Based on their experience. And there's a lot of different kinds of DJs, obviously.
Totally, yeah.
But you have been a musician for many years prior to DJing as well.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be even more unique. When you started DJing, mm-hmm. did you start to consider what style, what kind of energy, what kind of feel you wanted to portray to guests or even potential clients?
So I think I really started thinking about that not early on, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I think early on as a DJ, I was kind of just along for the ride. Just figuring out through trial and error, you know, what crowds liked and what songs were popping off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning about songs that I hadn't even heard before. I mean, to this day, my girlfriend still introduces me to all sorts of music that I had never heard before.
Shouts out Sammy one time.
Yeah, shout out Sammy one time or yet. So I think early on, I was just kind of figuring out what crowds liked.
Okay.
Not super focusing on what I wanted to play or, remixes that I really enjoyed, but just trying to figure out through trial and error, you know, what the crowd was going to bump to, you know, what was going to get high school kids singing, what was going to get, you know, middle-aged moms going through a midlife crisis dancing, you know, stuff like that. And you know it's a real thing. This is Utah we're talking about, man.
You just reminded me of a story. I'm going to put a pin in that.
Okay. Stick a pin in that one.
So you weren't thinking about this very early on. It was more being able to understand what most of the crowds were wanting.
Definitely.
And catering to that.
Yep.
Okay.
So I think I really started kind of honing in on my style and who I wanted to be as a DJ and what I wanted to portray to my clients and future clients for that matter. I think I really started thinking about that about a year and a half ago, about the time that I got back from the mission field, still in the middle of COVID, and I'm really starting to grow my own company as well as do more and more events with the live entertainment. I guess as a quick preface, 2021, my first quote-unquote full year in business being back from the mission field,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting to grow the company a ton. You know, I was expecting to maybe DJ 10, 15 events or so. And we ended up closing out the year total, both of my own company and counting events that I did with Alive Entertainment. I think I did 52 events total. So effectively one event every weekend.
That's awesome.
Some weeks it would be, you know, you have five events in a week or something, and then you might go 3 weeks without an event.
If you could tell your mission self this right now, how would you have reacted?
I would have lost
as a missionary.
But I would have lost my mind, honestly.
Okay. Sorry, Austin.
No, you're good.
I had to.
So I think once I realized that DJing was going to go a little farther and was growing a little more than I expected it to, I think that's when I started actually taking the time to figure out what music I enjoyed and what my style was. I had some help from friends, from other people who kind of helped, you know, helped me figure out what I enjoyed and said, you know, you seem to be really happy when you're playing this type of music as compared to this type of music.
So I want to dig deeper there. Like, was there a particular inspiration, a person or maybe even another brand or another company?
Definitely. Yeah. So early on, my man, Cam Reeve, shout out Reeve Entertainment. He's a homie.
Hey, it's Cameron's birthday tomorrow. I know this isn't coming out for quite a few weeks.
It is his birthday.
But happy almost freaking birthday, Cameron. I love you.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Sorry. Continue.
He's awesome. We all love Cam.
So Cameron, where are we going with that?
So when I first got back, he was one of the guys that I kind of linked up with right off the bat. And as I got more and more and more back into DJing, I think I found more and more artists that fit the vibe that I wanted. I mean, Parker and I both share a huge love for for Tech House for James Hype. We got to see him here
going
in
straight, baby.
Here in concert a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago now.
Yeah, barely. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we saw him. and so I think,
hey, shouts out Madness one time.
Shout out DJ Madness, where you at, boy? And so I think the experience of working with Cam early on, and then just playing, you know, a wide variety of events in the last, you know, 14, 18 months or whatever, mm-hmm. Has just exposed me to what I like, has exposed me to a lot of different options. And from then I can kind of pick and pull what I enjoy doing.
So Cameron was a big catalyst, totally. Musically.
Yes.
Is there another company out there, or, is there a certain kind of feel that a certain kind of feel that inspired you within a brand, within a company, within the customer experience that inspired you?
So
like that's kind of broad.
No, yeah.
It's more company related and not DJ related.
Totally. I think kind of the experience that I'm having right now, I guess this isn't the perfect answer to the question, but the experience, like the customer service and whatever experience I'm having right now with Bass Boss, is kind of like the culmination of finding this style, because their whole thing is like, they want you to feel the music that you're playing. They don't just want you to hear the music. They want you to feel it thumping in your chest. They want to see, you know, the airwaves in front of the subwoofer moving back and forth because, you know, it's so loud and the bass is so low and all that fun stuff. And I think chasing that experience has kind of been central to my style as a DJ. And so I think that ended up playing out through lots of house music. I mean, EDM is known for having, you know, deep lows and high highs in music. The quality of the audio, quote unquote, is generally really good because it's frequently being played on really big, you know, huge sound systems. Ultra Music Festival, you know, EDC, which happened last weekend. Yeah. Huge things like that. And so I think chasing that almost visceral experience of feeling the music, kind of got woven in to what I wanted to deliver for my clients as well.
Okay.
It ended up being this whole wraparound holistic experience that's kind of still playing out to this day.
Yeah. Maybe another question to get a little more clarity. The Argus Entertainment has gone under rebranding for some time.
It has, yeah.
It's been a project. It was a project in what class was it?
This was Entrepreneurship 2050.
And do you remember the title?
Oh, it was Lausanne Plus X.
Okay, excellent.
It's like your capstone project. If you live at Lausanne and work within the Lausanne community for a while, it's kind of your capstone class.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just want to make sure we're doing good on time. We've got about 15 minutes left.
Cool.
Argus Entertainment has been undergoing a rebranding for some time, and even the website received an additional rebrand as of recently.
Full overhaul.
Tell me a little bit more about that style, the inspiration or the thought process, the style for Argus Entertainment and the website, and what you're wanting to communicate to your clients. So, does that make sense, Austin?
Yeah, okay, totally. Okay. So the whole idea behind the rebrand was that through the first year of Argus Entertainment's existence as a formal company, I was just along for the ride. You know, I was getting referrals, I was getting events, you know, we were booking things here and there, but there wasn't a defined direction for it. You know, I was taking just about any event that came my way, regardless of what the pay was or what the style was or what music they wanted, just because I wanted to build the company, and I was just kind of figuring out what I was doing and what was going on.
And you're doing a lot and just keeping up.
Yeah, just kind of keeping up, just going with the flow. And like I said, taking any event and any opportunity that came my way, which I think is kind of crucial for just about any entrepreneur, regardless of what business or what industry you're in. You kind of have to just grind it out for a while while you figure out and get your footing in the market, I guess. So the idea behind the rebrand came from a conversation that I had with Parker, with another one of the Alive Entertainment DJs, Dev, maybe back in like November, December of last year.
Was it at a meeting we had?
It was, yeah. So we have like Alive Entertainment meetings about once a month or so, where we all just kind of meet up. You know, we talk shop, we talk about upcoming events. You know, we play some music, we get some food, listen to some bangers. We blow out, you know, Parker's dad's, Papa Andreessen's sound system in their home theater. You know, it's great. It's the life.
What was the conversation?
The conversation was we were all kind of talking about going into the next year and the next season of our individual companies and Alive Entertainment. And we were all talking about how we wanted to do more of the events, like, or we were all talking about what events we wanted to do more of. I think we all kind of had this general consensus that we were all ready to stop taking any event that came our way, and we were ready to start defining what events we wanted to do. We were ready to each craft and culminate an individual and collective brand image that we would then push to clients. Because, I mean, it's the rule of business. You attract what you put out. That's a rule of life, I guess, you know. You attract what you put out into the world. And so I started by defining what I wanted to take in. And what I want, the events that I want to do are high energy events where people are ready to party. They're ready to celebrate for whatever reason, whether it's a wedding, whether it's, you know, it's a school dance, whether it's a corporate event, whatever it is. I want to do events where people are ready to party. They're ready to throw down. They're ready to have the time of their lives, have a lot of drinks, get swifty, and have some fun and celebrate for whatever reason.
I feel like for someone who's just listening right now, who is maybe not be in the entertainment industry at all, they might just assume that that's generally like what happens at parties where there's DJs. So, but that's not the case.
That's very true.
That's not the case. It's very dependent on, like, say weddings. So we do a lot of weddings.
Totally, okay? Yeah.
It's very dependent on who the couple is, what they're interested in. I've DJed weddings where the couple didn't dance at all, and didn't dance much, but they wanted to have that for their guests.
Totally, yeah.
And, like, you know, there could be a range from, like, the guests and the wedding party was crushing it to, like, a few were dancing, and that was more than perfect for them.
Yeah, totally.
That was more than perfect for them. Me as a DJ, it took me a long time to realize that my expectations of a successful event are very different from the couples.
Definitely.
I'm going into a wormhole now, Austin, but jumping back to your point, designing the brand around the kinds of events, the feel, the experience that you want to do more of.
Yep.
Okay.
So I started by defining the events that I wanted to do, what those events looked like, what they sounded like, what they felt like. I mean, even at one point I was thinking about the events that I wanted to do and what I wanted them to smell like. That's how, like, holistic, the depth. I wanted to know exact details of what my dream event would look like to DJ. Whether that was a wedding or it was a school dance or you know, whatever the venue was, I guess, whatever the type of event. And then I did a little bit of market research and I figured out what those clients typically look like. You know, what are common characteristics that these clients have? And honestly, that was a little hard to do. Market research is tedious at best. And so it was kind of hard to find, you know, characteristics that different groups of people share when the idea is as vague as, I want people who are ready to party. You know, that's kind of a vague idea sometimes. It's hard to show that. It's hard to characterize that and find, you know, personality traits that amongst people in market research. It's just tough to do. So stepping past that, I looked at what I wanted to appear as, like, visually. And that's where I think I really nailed down what the rebranding was going to look like. So I mentioned earlier, I'm a huge tech house fan. James Hype, Madness, stuff like that. Those are some just, like, it's my favorite style of music. When I roll up to a high school event, I'm finding tech house remixes of Shakira and Lil Jon and Kesha and whatever else. That's what I enjoy playing during peak hour. And one of tech house's biggest calling cards, like a way you can categorize a track as tech house, is that it's minimal. There's not a lot of extra drums. There's not a lot of extra synth pieces. It's not a big orchestral track where there's 80 parts going on. There's like six or seven. It's very minimal. It's very clean. Some people might say a little understated, but it's very, very stripped down. And so that's what I went to do with the website and with the branding. I stripped it back. I took away lots of the fluff. I took away lots of the text on the website. I took away some of the other, even some of the branding elements that I'd thrown into the mix just because I thought I needed them, you know, because I saw other people doing them. And I stripped everything back to its very core. We even stripped back the color palette. We were rocking with like a gold color palette at one point. Now we've got black, or a shade of black, a shade of white, and like a specific gradient that we have. And that's the only brand colors we have. So I took everything that Argus Entertainment was originally. I pulled out the pieces that I wanted and then stripped out everything else. Because in my music style, I want to be minimal. You know, I want to, you know, be a little flashy, a little showy here and there, but we want to be clean. We want to be almost analytical. That's kind of a weird way to say that, but very, very technically sound. In our presentation, I'm trying to be very clean and very minimal. You know, we're using, that's part of the move for this, part of the reason for this Bass Boss move is it allows me to present myself in a cleaner, more efficient, more streamlined way, you know, visually and aesthetically at events. And of course the website, you know, got stripped down, to be more clean, more minimal. I took a lot of pages out of Apple's design handbook. Apple actually has like a book that you can buy that's all about the design of their products.
And so, you bought it and read it?
Yeah. So I went through that, I read through that, got tips from there, got tips from lots of like Silicon Valley startup websites. I would just trawl through websites that friends gave me and take ideas from there.
If a DJ who has been DJing for a while, is listening, but they want to do, they want to have this rebrand and identify themselves a little bit more so they can work with their, ideal client more frequently. What would one tip be? I mean, you've given multiple and like, I'm picking up on multiple, even though you're not explicitly sharing them. What would one tip be, that you'd like to share with them?
Define who your clients are.
Okay.
Define who you want to play to, not who you're currently doing it, unless those two match up, but define what style of events you want to be doing. Because when your expectations for an event, or when your vision of a successful event lines up with your client's vision of a successful event, that's when magic happens.
Say that one more time. When your visions of a successful event lines up with your client's.
Yep. Because lots of times as DJs, we kind of bend our styles a little bit. You know, we have our core style of what we enjoy, and then we bend that and we tweak that to exactly what the client is looking for. You know, I roll up to a high school event, and unfortunately, even though I wish I could, I can't play 3.5 hours of tech house at a high school event.
I wouldn't, bro.
I'm not opposed.
When I first started DJing high school dances for 2 years, you could play a third of the night nothing but EDM. I used to play Dioro and Steve Aoki and Dotto Life and Skrillex, bro.
I wish.
Like back to back. Alesso. I'm not joking, bro.
I wish, man.
That, yeah. It's a different time, man.
It's a different time now.
I did Alta, bro. I got some videos of that stuff.
I wish. I even remember doing that when I was DJing like 2017, 2018. I would roll up to like Green Canyon, or I remember doing a, I think it was an Alta event in 2017.
Yeah, yeah. And you did one
it was,
too.
It was like an outdoor event or something, an outdoor kind of bash party. And I probably played a solid hour or so of house music.
And they loved it.
It was great.
Yeah.
They went to Alta pulls through for sure.
They got some good energy, bro.
So when the DJ's vision of a successful event is in line and is, you know, the same as the client's vision of a successful event, that's when some magic kind of happens. That's when you get the end product is more than the sum of its individual parts. You know, the end product is something that went beyond what anybody was expecting, because everybody's on the same page. No one's tweaking or changing their style to fit the event. Everything is just set up
perfectly.
You're
leaning into your strength.
You're leaning into your strengths because your strengths are what the clients want.
Yep.
And that's when the client gets the best experience, and that's when the DJ does their best work. So if you want to always be putting your best foot forward, focus on your dream clients, seek them out, do what you have to do to be able to attract them with your marketing, with your branding, with your styling, the mashups that you're putting online, all of that. And once you attract them, it's just it's a snowball effect from there.
If one of those potential clients or couples is listening right now,
absolutely,
but they don't know where to go. Actually, they will know where to go because all of it's going to be in the description of this podcast episode.
Absolutely,
both where you're streaming and on YouTube. But share it with the people. Where can the people go and find you? Check out Argus Entertainment.
If you're looking for that style, if you're looking for a high energy event where you're ready to party, you're ready to throw down, and you're ready to vibe out, particularly to some house music, that makes it even better. You can hit us up on Instagram at DJ Argus, on TikTok at DJ Argus, or online at argus-entertainment.com.
Thank you. Austin, I hate to put a pause on the social media But we are getting close on time. And
oh yeah,
I mean, DJ Dev's gonna be here for the next episode.
The man, the myth, the legend. Y'all getting DJ Dev next.
I do want to take a moment to hear about one of the craziest experiences or events that you've ever. One of the craziest experiences you've had DJing an event.
Okay, it's definitely tough to choose because I think as DJs you experience a pretty a wide variety of events.
Yes.
I think one of the craziest ones I've done, one of the most fun ones, was we did the University of Utah's homecoming last year. Mm-hmm. It was a huge kind of capstone event for me. It was amazing. We worked with the full production company. I mentioned Tom earlier. Shout out Tom Truvy. Mm-hmm. One more time. We worked with them and we basically threw a party for about 2,200 college kids on the deck of the Utah State Capitol. Mm-hmm. The Capitol has this big kind of stone deck that looks out over the city where you could probably put 5,000 people, in a 360 around the Capitol. Mm-hmm. There. And we pulled up with a projection screen. We were going to do a video all, but couldn't. We did a projection screen. We did full line arrays with subs and everything. We had a full stage, a bunch of moving heads and everything. We had visuals. I got to have my logo up on the projector screen. It was just an insane event. And it took a lot of planning and a lot of pull through and a lot of collaboration between myself, the production company, our contacts at the University of Utah. But at the end of the day, everything just meshed together perfectly. And I think to this day, it's one of the craziest, one of the most fun events I've ever done. We even got shut down by the cops because you forgot to get a noise permit. And so we got shut down by highway patrol at like 10:35 or so. We were supposed to go to 11. Noise ordinance goes into effect at 10.
That's not bad, but that is, the ball literally got dropped.
It happens.
I mean, granted, there, the Capitol's on a big property, but
totally,
surrounded by houses. Austin, I am so sorry. I wasn't clear. I'm stoked about this. I saw you as you were creating and building this. I wanted to get an example of something where something went completely wrong.
Oh.
Or something went completely crazy.
Oh, okay.
A quick example that I had that I was just going to toss out there. I did an event. I'm not going to be too specific with it. But there was some drinking and I got there and it was a slower start just because it was designed around mingling and then dancing later.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed there was this woman who had to have been drinking quite a bit and was extra friendly and
get a little swifty.
I mean, it was probably 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, and every 40 minutes or 30 minutes, whenever she'd come circle back around, just noticed how, things were a little bit more different. And, got to a point where she was really leaning on my booth and wanted touching buttons, and leaning up against me. And I'm like, woman, I need to scratch. My elbow needs to be right here. I'm about to scratch the new song in. You can't be up in my
need
grill.
Need to get you out of the way here.
And, oh gosh. I can't believe this.
This is the reality of being a DJ. It's not always perfect events.
I mean, the event was still great, but this is what happened. And long story short, she hugged me at the end of the night and whispered in my ear, but I thought she was whispering in my ear, she bit my ear. And I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? I literally just sit there I'm gonna go wrap up my cables now.
I thought you were gonna say you accidentally elbowed her in the face.
No, I was polite until the fourth time. I'm like, all right, I need you, I need my space. It was very
she was provocative.
Yes, that's a good word to use. That's my watch telling me to wrap up. That was one example of something that just came to my mind. Do you have anything somewhat of that nature real quick? We got
yes,
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Okay.
I was doing a high school event for an unnamed high school up in Logan.
That's a small place there, brother.
there's eight high schools or six high schools up there. There's big. There are a lot more high schools up in the in the Cache Valley area than you would think. There's six or seven high schools up there. It's a huge market for high school dances.
There are
Anyways,
your reaction made me laugh. Please continue.
Anyways, so I was doing an event for a high school in Logan, maybe 2017 or so. Yeah, like late 2017. And two things happened. Two, like a double whammy event. It was horrible. Number one, I was using these big three-way speakers, you know, the huge, like 85-pound speakers.
Were they mine?
No, they were not. Okay. This was not a live entertainment event. Okay. So we were using these big speakers, and they were sitting on top of the subwoofers. And normally what we would do in that case is we would take some toe straps, like some ratchet straps.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, and we would ratchet the speakers down, because that's how you keep them together, because subwoofers make speakers vibrate around.
DJs, buckle up.
Yeah, DJs, buckle up. You're not going to enjoy this. You're not going to enjoy the second part either. So we ratcheted one side, and then the DJ that I was working with at the time had to leave to go do something else. He was going to another van or working something else. So he heads off a different direction, and I start doing lighting and programming the moving heads and other stuff, and I forgot to ratchet the other speaker down on the other side. So we get maybe like an hour and 45 minutes in the dance or so. We're bumping. It's like peak hour. We've got like probably 600 kids there, and the speaker vibrates right to the edge of the subs, and then whoom, right off the front of the subs. And it's stacked
during
the song too. It was the middle of Die Young by Kesha. Right in the middle of the drop.
It's a banger, no wonder.
It's a banger. I didn't know what to do.
Shout out all the Kesha fans.
I was like 17 at the time, and I had just had an 85-pound speaker fall off the front of a sub. You know, and these two, there's two subs stacked up, so it's probably the base of this 85-pound speaker was probably 4 feet in the air or so.
Yeah.
Like that's enough weight and enough power to seriously injure, if not kill somebody. Like that's a very dangerous thing that can happen. So I kind of went into panic mode and freaked out a little bit. It had like ripped out a cable. And so there was like an end of an XLR cable that was stuck in the speaker. Mm-hmm. And there was like a dangling speaker wire, you know, hanging behind the subwoofer now. Mm-hmm. So I had to work with one of the chaperones or advisors and get that speaker back up, plug it in, and then grab a ratchet strap from the bag, ratchet it back down, all while playing a Spotify playlist that I think I called High School Bangers, which was like my backup Spotify playlist if something ever went wrong. Please, DJs,
does it have a little fire emoji?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a fire emoji and then like a rocket spaceship emoji. Yeah. Yeah. DJs, if you don't have a backup playlist, get one.
Okay.
45 minutes later, I'm strobing the lights. We're in the middle of another big drop. Everything's going well. We've kind of like gotten back into the groove, and a girl has a seizure in the middle of the dance floor. This girl had done this multiple times before. She would roll up to high school events for her high school and other high schools in the area and would not take her epilepsy medication that day. And so she rolled up to this event and had a seizure in the middle of the dance floor. And so we had to shut down the event early. We had to bring paramedics in on the scene. Luckily, she was okay. She survived. She was okay at the end of the night. But we had to, of course, cut the dance. And it was terrifying as a DJ because I don't know if I had caused that or if I had been liable or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was.
And
it
you
was
said a, you're 17?
I was 17 at the time. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
I'm like a high schooler, like 2.5 hours away from home. I got to go drive 2 hours home at the end of the night. Like,
Monk, you can get me.
Mom. Someone just had a seizure. What do I do? Yeah. So that was probably, that takes the cake for like probably the sketchiest event I've ever done. Like the worst event.
What a great note to end on.
On that note, DJs, don't make the same mistakes that I have. C'est la vie. Au revoir. I don't speak French.
Make a backup playlist. That's a good thing
make
to end on.
Make a backup playlist. Give it's me the end buckles. Of it. Define your clients, make a backup playlist, and you're good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got DJ artist.
DJ artist.
We're back in the stew with Nick Nord. Shouts out Sammy one time. Shout out you for listening. It's probably a Monday because these drop on Monday. So thank you for being with us on this beautiful Monday. We'll catch you next week for episode 33 of Behind the Energy Podcast.
We out of here.
No, not 43.
This is going to be 42. Dang, we got 43 coming next week.
Yeah, 40. Thank you.
Is that going to be DJ Dev?
Thank you, DJ. Yeah, we got DJ Dev next week. You keep it locked and subscribe. We'll keep it low with some stupid and hopefully fun conversation. That's it. Peace. That is a wrap. Thank you for listening and going behind the energy with me. If you loved it, thumbs up it. You can follow me on social media at Parker Andrees and check us all out at bringingtheenergy.com. As for now, we are signing off and I'll catch you next week for another episode. Peace.